I like to preserve what I can of my harvest, which is why I overplant some things, with the idea to enjoy them throughout the winter months. Tomatoes are pretty high up on the "I want to eat this now, but I mostly want to eat this later" list. This is why I planted 25 tomato plants for me and my husband this year. 25 plants will produce way more tomatoes than we can eat this summer, but I'm thinking about the long game, and homemade chili sauce, pizza sauce, and roasted tomatoes in the depths of winter. In the past month, I have preserved 67 pints of tomatoes, all from tomatoes that came off of those 25 plants. Tomatoes come in waves, and I am in between the first and second wave, so I'm able to do some weeding and fall planting while I wait for the next flush to come. My goal is 100 pints, and we'll see if that happens. All of the plants in my garden are working double time for me right now, and so I want to help them along by sticking, or trying to anyway, to a regular fertilizer schedule so that I can get those 100 pints of tomatoes tucked away in my pantry. Hi, I'm Carrie Hargrove, and you are listening to Farm Your Yard, and today we are talking about fertilizing your garden. It took me a couple years as a gardener to fully embrace the fact that you really do need to fertilize your garden. I had this notion that forests aren't fertilized and they grow huge plants, so why would my little garden need fertilizer? Well, the difference between a forest and a vegetable garden is that very little is taken out of a forest. The leaves drop on the ground and decompose. A tree falls and slowly breaks down. That process keeps feeding the soil, which will feed the trees. An annual vegetable garden is very different. Produce is plucked off the plant and taken away, so less of the plant matter is being dropped onto the ground to decompose compared to a forest. I am a nature lover that is also a gardener. And as such, I am aware that a garden, while being a way to reconnect a person with the outdoors and nature, is not untrammeled nature in and of itself. My early assumption that my garden was like a forest is not accurate. The plants that we grow in our annual vegetable gardens are the products of plant breeders and seed companies. This is true even if you grow all heirloom plants. The sweet corn that is sold in the farmer's market is way bigger than the teosinte that early Native Americans grew. The tomato plants in my garden produce way more tomatoes than the wild tomato plants of Peru do. Take, for example, the sunflowers in my garden. Imagine a sunflower seed. It's like half an inch long, if that. Then imagine what that seed turns into. In my case, the sunflowers that are in my garden are probably 15 feet tall, with stalks that look like baseball bats. All of that plant material from one tiny seed. To get that big, the plant is taking sunlight and turning it into metabolic energy that makes the plant shoot up towards the sky. But it's also taking lots of water and nutrients to get that big. Because we are growing plants that have been bred to be more productive than they are in their natural state, more is being asked from the soil and from the plants. That is why, in order to keep a healthy garden now and into the future, you need to amend the soil for next year's garden and fertilize your plants for this year's crops. If you continually plant your garden without amending the soil and fertilizing your plants, eventually you will wear out the soil health and fertility, which are imperative to a plant's growth. So my advice to all gardeners is to feed your soil every year and also feed your plants when they need it. Now that you are on the soil amending and plant fertilizing bandwagon, let's talk about how to put those convictions into action. Firstly, let me stress, amending your soil and fertilizing your plants are different activities, but they should go hand in hand in your garden management plan. Let's talk about soil amending first. Amending your soil means that you are adding organic matter, minerals, or rock dusts to your soil. Usually this is done in the late fall so that the amendments have time to settle into your soil. I call it the crockpot method. The more time you give the amendments to be taken up by the living things in your soil, the better. Meaning, you will have better results if you amend your soil in the fall versus amending your soil in the spring. Amendments are added to the soil to feed the microbes that live down there. In the most simplified terms, the microbes eat the manure and other amendments that you spread in November, and the byproducts of that process are what your plant utilizes to grow big and healthy. That is why you want to add soil amendments in the fall. The process takes some time. Amending your soil essentially means that you're feeding all of the millions and billions of little living creatures that are found in healthy soil, so that they can create healthy environments for your tomato plant's roots the following year. You don't need to spread the amendments on thick. Usually a dusting of any one in particular is sufficient. So it's like a crock pot in that you want to do it slowly, but it's also like a sourdough starter in that a little bit will breed a lot of microbes to make your plants happy and healthy. The application rates of each soil amendment is different, but usually the application rates are easy to find, be it on the package or from somewhere on the internet. The amendments I plan on applying to my garden this fall are green sand for trace minerals and potassium, rock phosphate for phosphorus, and goat manure and compost for organic matter. In the fall, after I pull out all of my dead plants, I will sprinkle this mixture over my soil, I'll rake it in, I'll cover it with lots of straw. Then in the spring, I'll be ready to plant. Fast forward to next spring, and I've got some broccoli that I'm super pumped about. Broccoli is considered a heavy feeder, meaning it has an insatiable appetite, and needs lots of nutrients to make a big head of broccoli. Well, the soil amendments are feeding the microbes, which in turn are feeding the plant, but my broccoli could always take some more, so I'm going to fertilize it a few times, just to give it that extra push. Most organic fertilizers are some sort of liquefied fish, which is what I use in my garden. Liquid fish is a good fertilizer because it has more phosphorus than nitrogen. While nitrogen is very important to plant health and is arguably the most important nutrient for a plant's health, if you give your vegetables too much nitrogen, they'll be all foliage and no fruit. Might make for a lovely garden, but one that doesn't produce a lot of food. Phosphorus, on the other hand, does a lot of things, and one of the things it does is it helps plants produce flowers, which are the little beginnings of fruits, which is why I have been spraying my tomatoes with liquid fish. I want those flowers because someday they will turn into tomatoes, which I will turn into gazpacho. My garden is small enough that I just follow the mixing directions on the fertilizer bottle and put that in a watering can and pour that over my plants. I really try to fertilize most of my plants twice a month so that they have a continuous supply of nutrients throughout their growth. I normally stop fertilizing a plant when I know its lifespan's winding down. Like, I'm kind of worn out by September, so I just let my tomatoes, peppers, and tomatillos go without fertilizer until the frost. You can only do so much, you know. There are lots of fertilizers out there, and my main recommendation is to pick one that works for you, and then follow the directions on the bottle to the T. Over-fertilizing will negatively affect your plants and can become environmental pollutants if you're careless. So make sure you do the right application rate at the right time. To me, soil amending and plant fertilizing go hand in hand. One technique, fertilizing, is for the short term, and is feeding the plants that are growing in your garden right now. The other, amending, has an eye towards the long term, and keeping your soil healthy and productive for seasons to come. Thanks for listening. For KBIA and the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture, I'm Carrie Hargrove. For more information on gardening, visit our website, which is columbiaurbanag.org, or like us on Facebook. And as always, happy gardening. And since it's the peak of the season, happy eating.